Not Just Football with Cam Hayward is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. You bet, you get with Caesars Rewards. Must be 21 or older.
We got blown out in Portland. And, you know, a few of the young guys wore Kobe's, right? And so after the game, before coach came in, he said, my shoes aren't for losers. Anybody who's wearing my shoes, take them off. And took them off, put them in the trash can. Coach gave his speech, and we left them right in the trash can in Portland. We were not allowed to wear those shoes.
All right, guys, welcome to another episode of Not Just Football with Cam Hayward. You know me, you know Hayden, and we have a very special guest, Pelicans forward Larry Nance Jr. Brother, thank you so much for coming on today.
Hey, man, I'm glad to be on. It's been a while since we got to catch up.
I know. When was the last time we saw each other? It was a playoff game, right?
I think it might have been 2018 playoffs. Yeah, you sat you and a few fellas sat next to my wife.
Yes, we were all squeezed together because they didn't take care of the families as much as they took care of the other players. But your wife was like next to like one of our big D tackles, and we felt horrible about it.
No. Look, she didn't need that much room. We had like five or four tickets that she only needed one. So it was all good.
Now you're with the Pelicans. We understand you guys are in the mix for the playoffs and the play-in tournament. What's the goals going into this season?
So coming into the season was, we big aspirations. Obviously last year we made a heck of a run and took the number one seed to all they could handle. And so we had big aspirations coming into the season. And as you know, injuries are just a part of sports. And so we've lost, you know, our two best players over half the season to injuries. So it's been an up and down year, but I mean, we're still in the fight, and there's not going to be any giving up. You know, we got about 13 more games left, and we're going to see if we can give this thing a run here.
Have you taken on more of a leadership role than you did with Cleveland?
Yeah, absolutely. So with Cleveland, I was more of a young guy, honestly. Like I was, 23, 24, when I got there, and you know, now this is a young team, and I'm only 30, so it's not like, which the big, once you turn 30 in sports, it's like, oh man, it's downhill from here.
Yes.
which is ridiculous. Yes. But you know, now that I'm 30 on this young of a team, yeah, I've got a lot of leadership responsibilities. You know, just my voice and my actions carry so much weight with these younger guys, because as you know, they look at you for everything.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up, like, once you get over 30, they treat you differently. Yeah. I feel like, you know, you've been with LeBron and you've got to see him, and I can only imagine when he turned 30, they were like, oh, it's over. And now this dude's like, what, 37, 38, and still balling?
38, still averaging 25. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. What would you say has been the biggest adjustment going from Cleveland to the Pelicans?
I think the biggest adjustment is the ages of the teams. Well, one, I mean, Cleveland's home for me. So moving to, you know, that was real comfortable and great. Obviously my dad played in Cleveland, so that was kind of a legacy thing going on there, but, it was time to go. And, you know, now that I'm in New Orleans, I think it's a bit of a generation gap. You know, in Cleveland, I had more guys my age, and now here in New Orleans, we've got 20, 21, 19, 22, you know, guys that are just so young. And, again, I'm going to sound old here, but this younger generation of guys is different, man. It's different. I'm sure you've seen it as well.
Yeah. You know, I've definitely seen it. You know, you bring up the point with your dad. Did you ever feel, pressure, or, you know, felt like everybody looked at you like your dad in that organization?
Yeah, I did a little bit. Obviously that's natural. You know, I'm junior, right? So I've gotten those comparisons and, you know, hey, that's Nance's kid my whole life. And so I'm used to it. It's nothing that I shy away from, and I've never heard a bad word about my dad. So I'm very, happy to have the name and the comparisons drawn, but it was something that definitely got a little monotonous over time. And, yeah. You know, I think the mutual split in that case was beneficial for both sides. Obviously I'm happy in New Orleans and they've got a heck of a team there. So, I think it was, I definitely think that wore on me quite a bit.
You guys are both, you know, children of professional athletes. What was that like growing up for both of you to where you're playing youth sports? How hard were people going at y'all because of your dads?
You want to go first? You got it.
I'll take it first. I was like, you know, everybody puts the target on your back. Everybody wants to be the guy that said, oh, I'd be his kid. I've been able to do this. And so you always felt that pressure, but you embrace it. Like, shoot, yeah, I'm my dad's son, but you want to play him, but now you're going to have to deal with me. So I always looked at it like, I don't care if you know who my dad is. You got to go through me. So it's going to be a hell of a night for you.
Right, right. See, it was tough. Like, obviously, you know, my dad's jersey retired in Cleveland. I grew up in Northeast Ohio. So it was with the same name. So every, you walk into a gym and people, it was always parents. Parents were the worst. parents were the worst. The kids no idea who my dad was. Just like, you know, that. Right. They didn't care about him. They were talking about LeBron and Larry Hughes and the current Cavs teams, and they didn't care about my dad. But it was the parents that were like, "Hey, that's Nance's kid. Get him." And I eventually think it made me better personally, because you got everybody's best shot. Like, there was a target on your back, like you said. So, you know, there was no cruising. There was no nights off. It was, you got everybody's best, and so I definitely feel like it made me better. I love the challenge.
See, but like for you, your dad could really like coach you up and you accept it. It's like, yeah, we play the same position. For me, my dad played running back. And so anytime he talked to, like, you wanted to talk about like D-line play, I was like, man, he don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, right.
And so I was like, he did know what he was talking about, but I just didn't want to hear it because I thought, like, my dad played running back. He didn't even play defense. So it was a little bit different.
No, it's always so interesting. Like, at what – like, what age did you realize your dad knew what he was talking about?
Ooh, probably like second. Or no, I would say my sophomore year, because it was funny. They tried to get me to try out to play running back. And my dad literally looked at me and said, hell no, you too damn tall. So I was like, okay, maybe my dad does know a little bit about football, but I was hard-headed. It took a while for that to kick in.
Yeah, no, it's kind of the same thing here. I didn't realize, like, he was just dad. Like, yeah. Dad, I got it. I'll be fine. Dad, I got it. I'll be fine. And then, like, I feel like the kind of higher you go up in the rankings, like from middle school to high school, like he says something like, okay, from high school to college, like, oh, all right. And then now in the league, now it's like, man, if I would have listened to you sooner, I would have gotten here so much quicker.
I'm sure he loves hearing that, by the way. If you had just listened to me sooner.
I would never tell him that. Never.
Okay.
You bring up an awesome point about the next generation. And we're seeing all this stuff with Ja. What is your thoughts about the whole thing?
Oh, man. I just think it's sad, you know. Obviously, it's when the professional sports is. It feels like that's where everybody wants to get to, right? So like, you dream about getting here. You put all this work in. You make it out of whatever situation you make it out of, and it's so easy to let the life take you away from the work you've did to get here. Right. And obviously, like, the dude is a generational talent. He should be one of the faces of the NBA and he's one of my favorite players to watch. But it's just so tough when you see him acting like that, is because you want him to, a guy that young doesn't understand the gravity that his actions have. Right. On younger generations or on the face or on the NBA itself. So I think they said, what, 8-game suspension or something. And, you know, for me, I just hope he he realizes that his ability is going to potentially make him hundreds upon hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, including mm-hmm. off-court stuff. But the more you dabble in that kind of life, the more it's going to take away from that, on-court and off. So personally, I just want to see him get back to being the freak athlete and superstar player he is. We just want to see him back on the court, but want to see him figure that life out, because his longevity in the league depends on it.
Yeah, and I'll just say Ja is a heck of a talent, and I think we're all just wishing for him to get on the right track and continue to be the hero he's going to be to the community. Give us your best Kobe Bryant memory.
Oh man, too many. Oh geez. I was a rookie in Kobe's last year, and obviously, my favorite would be the 60-point game. But to give you a bit of a better story about it, about how of that year, I think the last game, right? So the last we kind of saved our pictures and autographs and our requests until the end of the year. Obviously, Kobe knew. All of us looked up to him. All of us thought he was larger than life. That's the Mamba, right? Come on now, Kobe is the man. And he knew it. So we just kind of saved our requests until the last day. And all of us had simple things. Hey, could you sign me a pair of shoes or sign a jersey or whatever it is, sign a basketball for me. And so I'm standing in line. It's like Ryan Kelly, Nick Young, me and Roy Hibbert. Like, those are the next four in line. And he's just, right, after the game, whatever, we're celebrating and he's signing, talking to us. It's great. And so Ryan Kelly gets a jersey signed, and I'm already nervous, just because I haven't asked him for anything. Like, it was his last ever game. I felt like I was bothering him. I was just nervous, right? And so Nick Young steps up, and Nick Swaggy is a clown. Dude is an all-time clown, one of the funniest people you ever be around. And so what he decides to do is, because he signed with Adidas, he decides to bring Kobe a pair of his shoes, Nick Young's shoes. He's like, I want you to, like, can you sign these? I want you to sign my shoes, just as kind of like a joke. And Kobe, deadpan, dead face, throws him in the trash and said, I ain't signing that shit. Next. And so like I'm standing there with Roy, like, me? You want me to go next? Uh-uh. So I'm like, no chance. I pushed Roy in front of me, and of course he was great. As long as you didn't bring him any he was great. Yeah. He was great. But that one, and then there was a game in Portland where we got blown out. We were not a very good team, but we got blown out in Portland. And a few of the young guys wore Kobe's, right? D'Angelo, Jordan, Julius, a few of us, and we got ragdolled. And so after the game, before coach came in, he said, my shoes aren't for losers. Anybody who's wearing my shoes, take them off. And took them off, put them in the trash can. Coach gave his speech, and we left them right in the trash can in Portland. We were not allowed to wear those shoes.
How long till you were able to talk to him, Larry? Like, as a rookie, how long did it take to you talk to him?
Oh, it took. Well, when we get off, you'll have to do some background work as to why it took me so long.
Oh, I know. Sorry, I actually know why.
No, as to why it took me so long, I had a draft night Twitter incident.
I remember this now. Sorry.
It's 8 years ago, but it took me probably all through training camp and eight games into the season to really speak to him. And the only reason I did is because that's how long it took me to play. I played training camp. I did training camp or whatever. He didn't do a lot of it. And then our first couple games of the season, we're seven games in. I think we're 0-7, 1-7, something like that, real bad. And so coach decides to switch it up and play me. So I get to play. And so my first, I check in the game and set a screen for Kobe, pick and pop to 15 feet, bam, knocked down a jumper. And the next time I did the same thing and didn't shoot it and passed it somewhere else. My bad, Kobe, my bad. So timeout happens. He passes it to me again. I get a layup. And so that was the first time I initiated a conversation with him was like, great pass. Appreciate, you know, great pass. Appreciate you telling me that, yada, 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 this and this. And he's just said, dunk it next time.
Caesar Sportsbook. It's not just an app. It's a whole empire. Iconic casinos, hotels, world-class restaurants. It's all yours with Caesar's Rewards. Because every bet you place, win or lose, earns reward credits, which you can redeem for hotel stays at over 50 destinations, meals, tickets, merch, bonuses, and more. Get started today. Create an account with promo code OMAHAFULL.
21 over in the United States, 19 over in Ontario. Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with the Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
Give us, what were you thinking during that 60-point game Kobe had at the end of the year?
So literally the only thing I was thinking was anytime he missed, go get the rebound. Just go see if I can get him another shot. That was the only thing I was focused on. I think if you watch.
Did he say anything beforehand?
Not really. We knew, though, he was going to go out how he came in with a gun. You know, so he was getting them up, and we all knew kind of what it was going to be. But we didn't know. There was no one that could have predicted that. I mean, you could see, like, he had ice on his body all year. He was wrapped up on, you know, like looking like a mummy on the sidelines, like just wrapped with ice. And his career just took a toll on him physically. And so we were kind of expecting, like, okay, all right, you know, it's going to be a great, great send off to an unbelievable career. And you know, just celebrate him regardless, win, loss, didn't really matter. We weren't making the playoffs. Just, you know, let's just go have fun and celebrate this legend. And as he started to heat up, it was like all of our eyebrows were kind of like, is he doing it? And sure enough, like me and Julius were out there playing football, just out there moving screens and tackling, pushing, swim moves galore. And we were just trying to get every possible rebound just to give him the ball and get out of the way. That was the one job.
That had to have been crazy to be a part of. Just every shot going in is just more and more. Just keep feeding them.
That's all it was. It was just like, it was disbelief to a certain extent. Like, we were playing the Jazz and they were trying to make the playoffs. And even they were in disbelief. Like, I remember me and Trey Lyles at the free throw line were just kind of like, what is going on? He was giddy about it as well. Like, it was just, as a basketball fan, you just wanted to be able to sit and, like, I really just wanted to sit and watch it, but I had to play it. It was, I don't know what I'd have to do in my career to top that moment. Once he hit, he hit 60 points, and then he got a rebound and threw it down the court to Jordan Clarkson to seal the win. And we're all down there, and Jordan dunks it. And I'm like, I've got this video saved in my phone forever.
And I was the first one to kind of run back down the court. And I just gave him this giant hug and just like, just told him like, thank you for everything. And then the rest of the young guys kind of came down and he kind of dogpiled him, but it was, you know, I don't know what I'd have to do in my career to top that moment, but it had to be pretty special.
So what's the one thing he's taught you from playing basketball?
So it sounds silly, right? Like I got drafted in college. My dad was an athlete, high flyer dunker. In college, I dunked everything. In my thus, you know, now looking at my career, I dunk everything. That's just what I do. I'm an athlete. But for whatever reason, in the transition from college to the NBA, I didn't think that same thing was really going to work. So I started to do these finesse finishes and started trying to shoot floaters and hook shots and, you know, get away, trying to get real cute with my finishes and was missing some in training camp, missing some in the first few games. And then I remember this game against Atlanta, he threw me a pocket pass and I went in with my left hand and tried to wrap it around Al Horford and missed. And we came to a timeout and he just kind of grabbed me by my jersey and was like, again, in the only way, you know, in Kobe voice, was just like, "Hey, MF, dunk everything. You do all these dunk shows. You do all these dunk shows after practice. Put the ball between your legs, behind your back, windmills, 360s. And now you want to be finesse? Dunk every time you're near the rim. Dunk the ball. And it just sounds so silly that like I needed him to tell me that, but." I just did. I don't know. I didn't believe it was going to work until he said it. And once he said it, it was like, oh, okay, I'll just do that. And I just really
that's
just
because he's been around Shaq too much.
Yeah, I just started doing that. And so in that same game, I had like two monster dunks, and that just kind of sparked that in me for my NBA career. But it just seemed silly that I needed. I'm like, well, going into the year, I'm like, I can't just do that on these guys are grown men. They're physical. They're just as athletic as I am. I can't just keep doing that. And then him saying it was like, oh, if Kobe believes I can, then if he thinks I can, then I can. And
hey, so, Larry, what's your favorite dunk in game you've ever gotten?
My favorite, probably it was in Brooklyn. In Brooklyn, it was on Brook Lopez. Kind of in transition, I dribbled it up myself, crossed over Anthony Bennett and Brook Lopez, who is one of my, he later became my teammate. It's one of my favorite people in the NBA. he just didn't step up high enough. And so when I saw him just kind of waiting on me at the rim, I don't know if there's anybody in the league that if I see them waiting at me at the rim, I don't feel confident in dunking on. So, I saw him waiting for me at the rim and the timing of it was perfect to where we jumped and he just kind of boosted me up just a little bit to where I was looking down in the rim. And it was the pictures of that dunk and the videos I have of that one are something that I'll have framed in my house for sure.
Yeah. I would say like, I remember in high school when I played getting set up, getting dunked on. And so,
yeah,
you know, there's a back screen somewhere, and then you turn around, and you're like, "Oh,
yeah, you
just got me."
Yeah, so, 100%. 100%. That's all. That's all.
A big guy. That's a big guy you dunked onto. That ain't a cheapie. He's what? He's like a 7-footer, isn't he?
Yeah, Brooks about 7'1". He's an incredible shot blocker as well. But it just a funny story about that. So the very next summer, the Lakers signed him, so we were teammates. And I had never really said anything to him, but I remember we signed him and I was working out in the gym and he was introducing himself to everybody. And so I went up to shake his hand, just, you know, "Hey, Brooke, I'm Larry. Nice to meet you." And he kind of slapped my hand away and was like, "Yeah, I already know you. We met in the air last year." And that, to me, that's just like an all time line. Brooke is one of the best dudes in the NBA. He's a good guy.
That's awesome. Okay, we talked about dunking. Could we ever see you and Zion in the dunk contest?
I'm done. I did it once. I feel slighted by the NBA. I'm bitter.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. You should have won that dunk contest, right?
I'm bitter. I don't want to say I should have won it, but I wish we would have had different judges. So the NBA is
so the judges play a big part.
The judges play every part. Yeah. So the one year, every year, it's been like Lisa Leslie and Candace Parker and Dr. J and Vince Carter, like actual people that know what dunking is like. And for the one year I decided to do the dunk contest, they thought it would be a great idea to have Chris Rock and DJ Khaled and Mark Wahlberg. And it's like, look, if you think I care what DJ Khaled thinks of my dunk, you've got another thing coming. And I did one dunk that deserved, you know, it deserved at least advance to the next round, right? So I made it past round one, and it was just me and Donovan Mitchell, a dunk off. And, you know, of course, it's, you know, Don had the star power and everything, and he, you know, everybody, Donovan's a monster. So, you know, guys, you knew his name. And but I had a dunk that was very comparable to his, but he had the judge's attention. They knew who he was. And we should have gone to a dunk off to where just like next dunk, best score wins. But I think it was DJ Khaled that gave my dunk an 8 rather. And to this day, I'm bitter about it. Like, I'm not doing the dunk contest, but I will say Z, I don't think it's out of the question for Z. And I've seen some things that he's done in practice that if he decides to lace him up for the dunk contest, it'll be a sight to see.
What would be the dream of like dunkers all time in dunk contest?
Oh, Vince Carter, Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon. And for sheer nepotism reasons, my dad.
I was going to say, you got to throw your dad in there. Yeah, come on, yeah, man. I got to throw
him. Yeah, he won the very first. So
he won one. So, yeah.
Yeah, he won the very first. So I got to say my dad. That's my dream contest.
Wow, Zion didn't even make it then. I thought Zion be up there. I thought Mac McGlung might be up there.
No, Z hasn't done it yet. And you know, to me, those other Zach, Aaron, and Vince are three of the best dunkers we've ever seen.
Were you at the Zach and Aaron dunk contest?
No, so I wasn't there. I was watching it, but I'm glad I wasn't at it or in it. I'm glad I wasn't in that contest because I can jump high, but I can't do that.
Do you think LaVine won or was it supposed to be Aaron Gordon?
I think if there were scores higher than 50 allowed, I think Aaron would have won. Because the best dunk of that whole contest was going under both legs over.
No doubt. No doubt.
That is the best dunk contest dunk we've ever seen. In my opinion, I think we've ever seen. I don't think that'll ever be done again. So they were giving out 50s for everything, and they were all 50s. But if you could have given out a 53, Aaron deserved it for that dunk.
Okay, we got to bring up one of your teammates now.
For sure.
We just saw Brandon Ingram get bit by Jose Alvarado.
Oh, no.
What's going on?
Brandon Ingram bit Jose Alvarado, right?
Yeah, B.I. bit Jose.
Talk to your young guys. Tell us what's going on with your young guys, Larry.
Look, that is something that I don't – look, I'm a vet here, but I don't claim that. I don't claim that at all. Those two are inseparable. Those two and Najee Marshall, they are like, they do everything together, go everything together, go everywhere. It's actually really funny. But I think it was, I don't know, man, we were blowing Portland out. And so I think they were just having fun, but look, that's not my idea of fun. I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you that, believe me, that got sent in the group chat and jokes were made. That got sent in the group chat for sure.
So you're not going to let them bite you?
Oh, at their own risk. At their own risk. That ain't going well for them.
All right, we got to talk about one more bite, and that's the Browns bite. How are your Browns going to do this year with a free agency?
You know what? Me and the Browns have a really hard relationship. You said
I
what?
I need to send you a jersey. I need to send you a jersey. And
yeah, I was to say, can you become a Steeler fan? Are you? Is your fan?
Yeah, we can bring you on, brother.
I'm very much so a free agent. With the decision made last year, I had a tough. That was a bitter pill for me to swallow. So I'm open in free agency. Obviously, I'm down here in New Orleans. We just got Derek Carr. So I'm taking offers. You know, I'm listening to free agent pitchers. I'm just enjoying. You know, it's NFL free agency. It's also NFL fan free agency. I'm listening to all potential suitors.
I like NFL fan free agency. I'm gonna have to send some gift baskets out.
Yeah, I'm gonna send all Steelers gift basket to Larry. That's for sure.
I was gonna say, if you do, I have a new address.
Okay. I will text you. I will get it. I got you.
You said you have a new address. Can you tell us the story between you and Josh Hart when you were traded?
Yeah, for sure. So me and Josh were Laker teammates and very close friends. That's one of my closest friends in the entire league. Our friendship actually started playing Fortnite. That's all we did. We'd go on the road, play Fortnite, come home, play Fortnite. That's all we would do. And so, we eventually got super close. And when I got traded to Cleveland, you know, he got traded to New Orleans in the AD trade. And, you know, obviously he bought a house in New Orleans and got settled down there. But, I spent a few years in Cleveland, then I got moved to Portland and bought a house there. You know, just that housing market is ridiculous. So wanted to buy something there and take advantage of that. So, bought a house in Portland and didn't really think much of it at the time until trade deadline. When I found out, when I'm literally on a phone call, like FaceTiming Josh the night before I got traded, saying like, when we're talking, like, have you heard the same rumors I have? Like, you know, CJ kind of told me this is in the works, and I had my agent talking to both parties, trying to figure out what was going on. And, you know, so we're kind of laughing and joking about it, just like, hey, if we get traded for each other, do you just want to live in my house? Like, yeah, that sounds great. Like, I don't want a house hunt. That's perfect. So we had just kind of, it was just kind of like a joke at first. And then the next morning at like 8 a.m., sure enough, we find out from Woj that we got traded for each other. And it ended up working out that exact way. We moved our house. We moved all our stuff from Portland and put it in his house in New Orleans. And I'm sure our U-Hauls passed each other on the highway. But today is the day. Today is the day I move out.
There you go.
So he's out of Portland. He's in New York right now, and I'm out of his house. So now we can go about the process of selling.
So wait, you found that trade out through Woj?
Dude, that's how everybody finds trades out.
Really? Your agent doesn't know before Woj does even?
Occasionally. Like, if you're making over $18 million a year, you'll know beforehand. But if you're not, if you're like a secondary part of a trade, or like the guy's making, I feel bad for the guys like on minimums, or the guy's making $6 million or less, those are the ones that can get traded three or four times on deadline day and not know. And so most of the time, yeah, like deadline day, the whole league has Woj and Shams notifications on. And every time your phone vibrates, your heart stops a little bit. And that's just the nature of the beast these days.
How different is it on those days? How quiet is it on free agency days?
I don't know if it's quiet. It's more just like nervous energy. You know, because we're, you know, God, we practice, obviously, it's the middle of the season. So we're practicing and guys are just kind of like, did you hear what the Suns might do? Or did you, hey, did you see Kyrie wanted out? Or, you know, just like talking about different things. And then the guys that, like, of course, me, CJ, Garrett Temple, the guys that really understand cap space and understand the movement of the league will kind of go more into it. Like, what does a Kyrie trade look like for, what does the fallout look like and who might be attached to what? And so we're, you know, doing all like counting numbers and, you know, looking at the tax and looking at team salary caps and trying to like playing full on investigative journalist. But everybody's nervous. I mean, we had like three or four guys that were just certain they were going to get moved. And then the day ends and we're all still here.
Wow.
So I've been on teams where nobody's gone. I've been on teams like that Cavs team that I got traded to. Mm-hmm. They traded over half their roster on deadline day.
Wow.
So it was, you know, there's never a dull moment, but it's not quiet. It's just kind of like nervous energy. Guys are kind of laughing to keep from crying almost.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah. I believe it. That's a different process, man. Like, you know, I think in the season for us, we don't really look for those trades as much as like the NBA does. Like, you get around trade deadline, there's a move being happened every single time. And that is just, I couldn't imagine going through that as a player.
No, it's a mess. I've been, I've been traded twice on deadline day, and it's one of those feelings of both times I saw from Woj. So it was one of those feelings of like, you know, my just kind of telling my wife like, oh boy, you know,
what is that conversation like? Like, what do you tell her? Like, honey, it happened again. Remove.
It's just so tough because, like, you know, for us, like, not a lot of that responsibility falls on us. You know, we just go fly to the next city and play on the next team. Whereas, you know, when I got traded from Portland to New Orleans, you know, now my wife is in Portland and doesn't know anybody out there. And had at that time 8-month-old. And so she's trying to figure out, how do I get to New Orleans, or do I go back home to Ohio? Like, what do I do? And so that's what's often lost in the Twitter excitement of it all, is like, at the end of the day, it's like a family, you know, it's a family and a life that just got uprooted and placed somewhere else. Yeah. We're all well compensated for it, but it's like our wives aren't. So it's brutal for them. And I feel for Haley. So when I got a chance to sign my extension to stay here and basically just signed for a number that allowed me not to be traded this year. I jumped at the opportunity because she did, you know, they go through a lot for us.
They do. Yeah. I haven't had I haven't had to worry about that, but, you know, staying in one spot has been good for my marriage.
Yeah.
good for my kids.
Yes.
It's a big thing to uproot guys. And like, if you're not single and not attached to the city, it's okay. But man, like, if you are growing a family, it is a big uphaul to just, you know, move everybody like that, you know? And I know it can't be easy on you because, you know, they got to catch up to you at some point. So it's a big, you know, change for everybody. So, you know, big props to you.
No, without a doubt. Hopefully I'm done for a little bit. Some of it's by choice, some of it's by, you know, just how the league moves, but hopefully I found a spot where I'll stay for quite a while.
All right, let's get into the start bench cut.
Oh,
we have some different guys, so get ready.
You're gonna get me in trouble.
I know.
That's the goal. That's the whole point.
Great.
All right, biggest superstar, Kobe, LeBron, Damian Lillard.
Why? You picked three guys that I've been on teams. Why would you?
That was the point. That was the point. Why would you?
I mean, you can't see, for me, Bron is number one all time.
Right.
That's, you know, I was born and raised in Akron, Ohio. That dude is, he, for me, he's number one all time, especially after the record, like,
right.
Number one. So you gotta, I think you start Bron. You gotta start Bron.
So it gets tricky.
See, like, and this is like, this is with the utmost respect on it. I think to me, one and two is clear. I think it's Bron, you start Bron, bench Coat. But to say cut Dame is outrageous, because he's, you know, he's the great, he's the greatest player in a franchise's history. He's already a top 75 player. But yeah, I you know, if I have to choose between those three, probably Bron, Kobe, and then Dame.
Larry, do you think Dame finishes his career in Portland?
I do. Okay. I think he's such a staple there. He's gonna, I hope he finishes his career there. He's got a statue. He's got a statue shooting a fadeaway three right outside the Moda Center one day. That'd be pretty cool.
Best NBA city: LA, Portland, Cleveland.
Oh, LA.
Yeah, come on.
LA.
Portland and Cleveland, but come on.
LA. Okay. Don't say Cleveland like that. That's sorry, that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful.
I forgot for a second where you were from.
That's disrespectful. Come on.
Cam's wife's from Cleveland too, so you're right. I gotta be quit being so disrespectful.
That's disrespectful. Come on, man. No, but LA, I mean, LA is, come on.
You cutting Cleveland or Portland?
I think I'm cutting Portland only because of the rain. That was the hardest adjustment for me. Like, we have three big dogs, and trying to let them outside to use the bathroom, it was muddy paws every single time. And so, again, felt bad for my wife. But that's and Cleveland's home, so Cleveland's number two.
Okay. Best food in New Orleans: gumbo, po' boys, beignets.
Beignets, easy one. Ooh. Easy one. There's a Cafe Du Monde right by Josh's house that we went to all the time. So beignets is number one. I'll say po' boys number two and gumbo three, because gumbo is I don't handle spicy too well, like hot, really, really, really hot. I know. I don't handle really, really hot too well, and the gumbo oftentimes here is just scorching.
Ooh, yeah. See, I would have kept po' boys and beignets. I would have got rid of gumbo as well.
Yeah, gumbo's
got to go. I mean, the beignets are the clear number one there, I think.
I think so.
A good po' boy.
I'm with you, but Cam, a beignet. There's nothing. The sugar and all
the
that.
Sugar, I mean, come, and the flood. It's so good.
I'm with Larry on that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Best dunker in New Orleans: Larry Nance, Zion, or Trey Murphy?
That's easy. It's me.
Yeah.
It's me. My resume of bodies that I've caught, I've got the most bodies this year.
Well, then Zion's got bodies in high school, though, too.
Does that
mean Larry's got plenty in high school?
What do you mean?
I know you got a lot of bodies in high school. I'm just saying they were filming Zion everywhere, and it was just like dunk after dunk after dunk. On these poor little white kids.
I was going to say, Zion's competition was like me. Zion was playing against me out there, all right?
Come on. He was playing against, come on now.
I know.
I'm taking, I've got the most, even, look, I'm 30, and I've got the most bodies this year.
I like that.
It's me, Z, and then Trey. Trey's catching up.
Okay, that's it. You survived it.
I survived it, and I don't think it was too many cats. I don't think I'm going to get blown up on too much. but I will say on the last question, if you would have added Jackson Hayes to the mix, yes, he would have been, I think, Jax is number one.
Wow.
What?
I didn't expect that one.
I think Jax, he's probably the most athletic person I've ever been around.
His reach is crazy.
Dude, the things he can do just kind of messing around. He's obviously, you know, 7 feet and ridiculously long and athletic. He can stand flat-footed. He can stand flat-footed under the rim and jump. No steps, no run-up, no nothing. Jump, put it between his legs and dunk it. Wow. Off straight really? Vert. And I've never seen that. I've never seen that anywhere but with him.
Oh, wow. All
right, so yeah. He needs to be in the dunk contest next year, is what you're saying.
He could be, but there's, you know, with big guys doing the dunk contest, it's not a great look. We make everything look too simple because we're just small, we're just bigger.
I got a second question for you. Okay. You've been giving your little brother crap since you were able to make it to an NCAA tournament and he couldn't.
Don't get me started. Don't get me started. Do we have another hour that I can go off on?
You can go as long as you want. You can go as long as you want.
We've talked about it. Obviously, like, it's tough. You know, preseason number one was, I think, a little bit misguided. That wasn't fair to them because they were a team that finished that came into the NCAA tournament as an 8 seed and then just got hot at the right times. So them going into preseason number one was a bit far fetched in my opinion. But at the same time, like they didn't answer the call. They got the opportunity. The ACC is you know, one of the best conferences in all of the NCAA, and they had every chance to be there, played Duke close twice and had a chance to beat them. They just, but he's getting lots of from me.
Well, because Northwestern made it then, because Northwestern went and made it this year, right? And that's where he was last year. So that has to be even worse.
It's been a taxing year for sure, mentally, but you know, I'll always have Wyoming making the tournament.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
UNC, that's something I'll always have out on him. So whatever he says to me, that's always going to be my comeback.
Oh, I do this with my little brother too. He went to Michigan State, and so he doesn't even know what a Big Ten championship feels like. So I love rubbing it in his face.
He doesn't even know what it feels like.
What was your welcome to the NBA moment?
Carmelo Anthony cooking me, cooking me. It's another good Kobe story. So that was my matchup. I was guarding him, started on him, you know, hey, Larry, shut him down. And so he going into the fourth, he had 6. It was awesome. I was awesome playing great defense. He was kind of, I didn't realize it, but he was just kind of taking the night off and cruising. and then sure enough, Kobe had to say something to him like, man, you let my rooks, you know, shut you down. And 24 fourth quarter points later, he finished the game with 30. Ooh. And ooh, every single one of them was with my hand in his face, hitting transition pull up threes, drive by dunks. He reached into the bag and pulled out every tool in his toolbox. It was, that was my welcome to the NBA moment, because it was like, I thought I was playing good defense, but he was just chilling.
All right. How did you spend your NBA check, your first NBA check?
My first NBA check, I bought a big TV, like a 75-inch TV to play video games on and watch movies. Which was a big deal for me. And then I bought a Tempur-Pedic mattress same day. So I went on a spending spree in my office. Spending spree.
Yeah, somewhere to lay your head. That's perfect. While you play video games, you can
See, I'm just trying to invest in myself, you know? Got to get that sleep.
That's the second guest that's told us that. They bought a bed. Well, didn't Joe Manganiello? Yeah, he told us the same thing. He bought a bed too because he's a big guy and he wanted a bed, a good bed.
See? Great minds think alike.
Yeah, I would agree.
I like that. All right, give me your warm-up song.
Ooh, so I'm not like a music doesn't get me hype, really. So I'm more of a mellow, chill guy. I listen to a lot of R&B. Listen to a lot of R&B on game days. Some old school, some newer school. But I would say my playlist consists of a lot of Daniel Caesar, some Frank Ocean, some Alicia Keys, a little bit of Usher. You know, I'm more of like a vibes guy, more of like a mellow, chill, you know, calm until the storm type guy.
I thought you were going to hit us with LeBron and say like, oh, I've been listening to Beethoven or something.
No, please. No. Absolutely not. No,
he's not listening to Beethoven either. Like, can we all agree on that? He's not listening to Beethoven either. There's no way.
No way. But what does crack me up though is when like the internet making fun of him for not knowing music lyrics. It's one of my favorite things.
The funniest had to be when they were talking about The Godfather, and then he was just like, you know, I can't bring up any favorite part. I just love the whole movie.
One specific scene. I can't just give you one. Yeah. I mean.
All right. I'm going to do it again. Oh. Kobe or LeBron?
He already told us. He told us.
I know. It says on here, guys. I just want to hear you say it.
In terms of what? Is better player?
If you're starting a franchise, who do you want?
Yeah, I'm going to go Bron.
If you need to win a game, who do you want?
I'm going to go Bron.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
I think he's the best of all time. So,
okay. Yeah. There we go. Favorite NBA city to play and least favorite?
Favorite is Miami. I love sushi, and they've got this sushi spot out there that is ridiculous. And it's in the design district. But my least favorite would probably be. I think Boston. Yeah, their fans are pretty wicked. And you see how I use the Boston term as well there? Wicked.
Yeah.
Their fans are pretty wicked. And for whatever reason, their arena is so cold. It's so hard to get your hands warmed up. So probably Boston is my least favorite just because of the temperature in there. It's freezing.
So do teams really try to like mess with the thermostat?
I don't know what it is, but if their locker room feels that way, then their locker room's got to be much warmer than ours. But that locker room in Boston, it's like they put an ice block in the vents or something because it's freezing.
Oh, wow. Best NBA city to go out, and it's probably Miami, right? Or
that's not really my thing, but yeah, I'd imagine Miami's probably got the best nightlife.
Well, I know a lot of guys say Toronto too, because I heard of like during the playoffs, there's so many teams that go out in Toronto, they need to have like a strict curfew, right?
Oh, I mean, look, these guys, as you know, they will find a way to go out in Oklahoma City and Salt Lake City, Utah. So, you know, they're going to go out no matter where we're at. I think, you know, but I have heard Toronto is another destination that guys love to stay out past curfew.
All right, strongest guy in the NBA.
Steven Adams, not even close.
I believe it.
Not
big close. Guy.
Not even like close. Not even just close. Moving guys. The dude is built like a tank. He's, one of those guys.
NBA MVP.
Jokic.
Jokic?
Yeah.
Okay. Even with them falling off a little bit.
Yeah. I think it's Jokic. Now, if you ask me best player in the NBA, I'd say Giannis. But I think the MVP is Jokic.
Okay. Craziest teammate.
Ooh. Of all time.
Of all time.
Yeah.
Probably Tristan. Tristan Thompson.
Oh. Yeah. I thought for sure it was going to be Nick Young after you told us earlier he was. But if it's
Tristan Thompson. Nick was wild, but I didn't spend that much time with Nick. Okay. So I spent a lot. I ended up spending a lot of time with Tristan and that's my guy. But he is that dude is worth 1,000 laughs a day.
All right. who should we get next on the show?
Who should you get next? Yeah, honestly, Josh Hart.
Josh Hart?
Jay Hart. Okay. Yeah. All right, cool. He'd be a good one. You guys would love him.
Okay. We're going to have to make that happen.
Yeah, we're going to make that one happen.
And then final question. What can you tell the people about your project, Athletes vs. Crohn's?
So, yeah, at 16 years old, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is an autoimmune disease, and it affects your entire digestive tract. So that's where the food enters and where it exits. It's not a pretty thing to talk about. If you're interested, you can look up more about it. But, you know, basically we started this foundation. I started with a kid out of New York that also had Crohn's and was diagnosed, that just kind of reached out to me on Instagram. And I decided to, you know, meet up with him and share some words of wisdom. And he kind of presented me this idea of wanting to do something bigger. And, I thought it was awesome. And the story was organic and unique. And so, you know, we started this foundation together, me, him, and his parents. We're funding research projects and giving out scholarships and hosting meet and greets and, you know, kind of building a community of kids and parents and people that have gone through this, that are learning how to deal with, you know, growing through and with this disease, all through the lens of sports. And so, you know, we've done a lot of good with it, and, you know, hopefully I've got plenty more years in the NBA and we can keep, you know, hosting cool experiences and bringing these kids together and showing them that, you know, just because you're going to have this disease for the rest of your life doesn't mean it's got to affect you in the ways that, doesn't mean it has to stop you from doing what you want to do. It's actually been really cool. We've found a lot more athletes around that have had it. And, you know, for the second, I was the first player in the NBA with it. And now we actually have a second, a guy for the Indiana Pacers, Isaiah Jackson, has it as well. And so he's, you know, one of my favorite players in the league just because we share that.
I'm so appreciative of you sharing that. If we can, I want to make sure we make a magnifying glass on the work you're doing. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for taking time
to
hang out with us and share your stories. It means a lot to us.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, you're my guy. And Hayden, I liked you until you knocked Cleveland.
I'm sorry about Cleveland. I'm sorry. I'll come up and hang out.
He's the Michigan guy. He's the Michigan guy.
Yeah. You'll have to come. Hey, you know, the only way to make up for it is maybe come have some beignets.
Let's do it. I'm in anytime.
Oh, we gotta get some beignets. But I gotta send that gift basket out to you.
Yeah, you gotta get to be a Steeler fan. You
to a Steeler full time.
Yeah. Look, man, I'll do it. I'll do it. I am a full blown free agent, and I'm enjoying, you know, potential suitors. So, you know,
I got you. I got you.
Get Larry some tickets. Get me tickets at the same time. We can go sit together, and then that's what we'll do. Okay, Larry, you're gonna go to a game with me.
Perfect. Perfect.
Say less. Sweet. Say less. All right, guys, that is another episode of Not Just Football. I want to thank our special guest, Larry Nance, for coming on. It's truly been a pleasure. Everybody, look at Athletes vs. Crohn's again. This has been a fun time to do. We'll see you next time. Peace.